Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text number 30. Aham tatvad vikurvanam.
Aham tatvad vikurvanam.
Mano vaikarika dabhut.
Mano vaikarika dabhut.
Vaikarikaschaye deva.
Vaikarikaschaye deva.
Artha bhivanjanam yataha. The false ego is transformed into mind by interaction with the mode of goodness. All the demigods who control the phenomenal world are also product of the same principle, namely the interaction of a false ego and the mode of goodness. Purport. False ego interacting with the different modes of material nature is the source of all materials in the phenomenal world. So here Vaikarika Ash means mode of a goodness. So when this false ego, as explained previously in the root cause of a material manifestation, when it gets interacted with the different modes of material nature, all the materials of the phenomenal world are created. So here it starts with the, when it interacts with the mind in the mode of a goodness, then demigods, they are come to existence. In the next verse, Tayajesanan indriyanyanyevat jnana karma mayanicha. The senses are certainly products of the mode of passion in false ego. And therefore, philosophical speculative knowledge and fruitive activities are predominantly products of the mode of passion. Even the knowledge also in the mode of a passion. When the false ego gets interacted with the mode of a passion, then knowledge is also created. The chief function of the false ego is godlessness. When a person forgets his constitutional position as an eternally subordinate part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, and wants to be happy independently, he functions mainly in two ways. He first attempts to act fruitively for personal gain or sense gratification. And after attempting such a fruitive activities for a considerable time, when he is frustrated, he becomes a philosophical speculator and thinks himself to be on the same level as God. This false idea of becoming one with the Lord is the last snare of the illusory energy, which traps a living entity into the bondage of forgetfulness under this spell of false ego. A few decades back, there was one person actually who was calling himself as a spiritualist, and he was propagating some worst kind of a philosophy actually. Here as explained, that the chief function of the false ego is godlessness. That person, he started philosophy. He started with the Bhagavatam only actually. He gave his first discourse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he became very popular. After that, he came up with his own philosophy. And that was the worst kind of a philosophy, that you enjoy your senses and you will attain the trance, Sambhogse Samadhi. This sort of a knowledge or specially, first when they try to gratify their senses by rendering different sort of a fruitive activities, when they're frustrated with that, when they understand that this is not the way that you can get the pleasure, so they come out with some bogus kind of a philosophy. And with that philosophy, they become famous and people start calling them as a god or Bhagavan. Till today, even few of our brahmacharis parents, they are follower of this rascal. And they consider him as a Bhagavan. This is nothing but the mode of a passion when it interacts with the false ego, this worst kind of a philosophy gets generated. So if you know the root cause, then you can be able to understand what is reality. And that's why in the beginning of explaining Lord's wonderful pastime, all these descriptions are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then further Prabhupada says, the best means of a liberation from the clutches of false ego is to give up the habit of philosophical speculation regarding the absolute truth. Especially in modern society, you will find philosophy of modern people that everything is based on sense gratification. And what's the result that we have seen before yesterday that was shut out? What was for that? Because of someone's exploitation tendency, they wanted to exploit one another. And what comes as a result? Only a destruction. Because we don't have a proper understanding whom everything belongs to. We try to amass, try to exploit others' property, especially which is belongs to the Lord, considering ourselves as a enjoyer. And that itself actually creates a big bonding for us with the material existence. And for that we take different sort of a shelter of different sort of a philosophy. Especially nowadays people, they follow Charvak. Have you heard about Charvak?
Enjoy it to the fullest.
Yeah.
Bhogavad,
it is known as. Yavat jivet sukham jivet ridam kritva ghatam bivet asmi bhutasya dehasya kim punaragaman bhavet. Who has seen once you have gone into grave, whether you are turned into ashes or enjoying with the 72 heavenly damsels? As long as you are alive, enjoy as much as you can. For that, if you need to take a loan, take a loan. That's what the whole philosophy of this USA is, that only. Everything is on loan. Take loan, take loan. Everyone is on lending on credit cards. What it leads to? Nothing. Paycheck to paycheck. That's the life here. Same way, we don't have a time to understand where we are running actually. Which way, which direction. And if you take such a bogus philosophy and that philosophical speculation which leads us to nowhere. Because there is no conception of absolute truth. Everything is just meant for the sense gratification, which does not have any end. And sometimes when they get frustrated, they create some bogus philosophy through which they wanted to establish. There is one person. He calls himself as a spiritual master, guru for everyone. engineers the other's life. But what is the philosophy? Whatever speaks, everything is contradictory to what he speak about. He says, there is no existence of a God, such a thing. It's just energy. No need to have temples. And now just recently came up with a big temple. Don't follow anyone. Just follow your heart. Then why we should listen to you then? If you don't have to follow anyone, then why you have to follow you? Why you are telling it to us then? That's the difference between the genuine representative of the Lord and some bogus philosophers who come with their own speculation. Patanjali never said that you just sit anywhere and go into the meditation. Has he said anywhere? Is he a greater than the Patanjali who has given this Ashtanga Yoga? Just to make ourselves popular, famous, they are taking any sort of disorders from Vedas, creating their own speculations, mesmerizing people's intelligence and playing with that. That's not the function of knowledge. Knowledge is meant to liberate you, not to bound you in this world. And that's why Lord says, whatever I have spoken, that is knowledge. Anything else than that is ajnana, ignorance. One should know definitely that the absolute truth is never realized by the philosophical speculation of the imperfect egoistic person. Prabhupada added one particular phrase here, egoistic person. Egoistic, imperfect person. We are having this imperfection. Senses are not perfect. We are in illusion. Commit mistakes and try to cheat others. Whether you are going to get the knowledge which is transcendental beyond this senses, is that possible? No ways. And it is clearly explained in the scripture. Tarko pratishtha shrutayor vibhinna. Nasavarushir yasya matam na bhinna. You can't understand the religion or the knowledge about the absolute truth by speculation, by tarka, by arguments. Tarko apratishtha. You can't establish through arguments the existence of a God or about the absolute truth. Shrutayor vibhinna. By just reading or amassing knowledge from different scriptures, you are not going to understand the absolute truth. Nasavarushiryasya matam na bhinna. And you will find that every muni, every rishi, they have their own philosophy. That's why these six branches are there. Uttar Mimansa, Purva Mimansa, then Vaishashaki, Sankhya Yoga, Nyaya, Tarka. But these are not the means through which you can understand the absolute truth. Shad Vedangas. That's not possible. Nasavarishiryasya matam na bhinnam. That's why it is said, Mahajano inagata sapantaha. Just follow the Mahajans. Not with the title Mahajan, but the person Mahajan, who has taken shelter of the Daivi Prakriti. These are the Mahajanas. And if someone takes shelter of them, then it becomes easy for them, because these people are free from the egoistic, imperfect senses. And that helps us to make further progress in spiritual life. The absolute truth or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by hearing about Him in all submission and love from a bona fide authority who is a representative of the 12 great authorities as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. These 12 Mahajanas and their representative. If you take shelter of them, go to them. Prabhupada says here clearly that hearing about Him in all submission and love. These are the two most important ingredients that you need to acquire spiritual knowledge, or the knowledge about absolute truth. One is love, and second, submission to the authority of person. That's most important thing. Not any Tom, Dick, Harry, who has just long beard or putting some apron or saffron. That does not give a qualification him to speak about the absolute truth. How he becomes qualified to speak about the absolute truth? By following or representing the authority of disciplic succession, which is generated from their lordship himself. That gives him empowerment through which he can establish the absolute truth. And that's the only way. Hearing from such an authoritative person is the only way to understand about the Lord. By such an attempt only can one conquer the illusory energy of the Lord. Although for others she is unsurpassable, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. What is that shloka 7.14? Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratya mama yeva ye prapadyante maya metam. That's the only one way to understand the absolute truth, or to conquer the maya, to take shelter of the representative of the Lord who is in disciplic succession. In the next verse, he says, Tamaso bhuta sukshmadir yatakham lingam atmanaha. The sky is product of sound, and sound is the transformation of a egoistic ignorance. In other words, the sky is the symbolic representation of the Supreme Soul. That's why we say the sky is the limit. Because there is no limit for the sky. That is Ananta, and that is the representation of the Lord. That's why the sky is blue. The things which is infinite is always tinted in blue. Look at the ocean. It's blue. Look at the Lord's bodily hue. It's blue. Because it is limitless, and you can't fathom that thing through our senses. It's not possible to just today I have decided to I'm going to measure this, how long sky is there. Is it possible? No. Because it is limitless. Just try to understand, when that ego comes in contact with the ignorance, that creates a sky which is unlimited. And it is a representation of a Supreme Soul. Then what to speak about the Lord, who is the source of everything? Are you going to see him with this bare naked eyes? No. Andantarasya jagat paramanu chayantarastam. From his pores of his body, brahmandas, they are coming out. We are not able to see which is there in front of us. To see that, we need to have a relative distance through which we can see that. Which is far beyond our capacity is not visible for us. Then what to speak of is such a huge personality from whose bad bodily pores brahmandas coming out. Not brahmanda, brahmandas. So many of them. How big he must be. But by his mercy only, if he becomes merciful, it's possible for you to see him. In the Vedic hymns, it is said, Etasmad atmana akashah sambhutah. The sky is the symbolic representation of the Supreme Soul. those who are egoistic in a passion and ignorance cannot conceive of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. For them, the sky is a symbolic representation of the Supreme Soul. So the people who are in the mode of passion and ignorance, they can't conceive what is Supreme Personality of a Godhead. How to understand Him? Who is He? How is it possible for them to understand? For such an ignorant people, this sky is the representation of the Supreme Soul. How is Lord limitless like a sky? Because that is in front of their eyes. At least through eyes they can see the unlimited sky. So that's the representation of the Lord for them. Then in the further verse it is said, Kalamayamsha yogena bhagavat vikshitam nabha navaso anustritam sparasham vikurvan nirmame anilam. How the panchatanmatras are created, that has explained here. The first thing has created sound, which is there in the sky. Now, further, it is explained, thereafter the personality of a Godhead glance over the sky, partly mixed with the eternal time and external energy, and thus develop the touch sensation. Sound, dhvani, after that, sparsha, that is touch, that has generated, from which the air in the sky was produced. So first the panchatanmatra, and from that the object. The first is dhvani, then sky, then sparsha, then air. How you can feel air? By touch. So first that tanmatra has created, and the object of tanmatra has created. All material creation takes place from subtle to gross. The entire universe has developed in that matter. From the sky developed the touch sensation, which is mixture of eternal time, the external energy, and the glance of personality of a Godhead. The touch sensation developed into the air in the sky. Similarly, all other gross matter also developed from the subtle to gross. And sound developed into the sky. Such a developed touch developed the air, from developed the fire, the taste developed into water, and smell developed into the earth. So first subtle things, panchatanmatras, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa and gandha, and then according to that five elements, akash, Vayu, Agni, Pani, or Phil, Bhumi, Earth. Anilo api vikurvano nabhasauru balan vitaha sasaraja rupat tanmatram jyotir lokasya lochanam. Thereafter, the extremely powerful air interacting with the sky generated the form of a sense perception, and the perception of a form transformed into electricity, the light to see the world. So fire has a form. Now again it is developing into the gross thing. So first is like a space or sky, which does not have any other symptoms through which you can understand that. That there is a little bit grosser than the sky is air, because it has a touch sensation. More grosser than that is fire, which has a sparsha, touch also, and which has a form also. Then the next one. Anilenanvitam jyotir vikurvat parvikshitam adhantam bhorasapmayam kalamayam shayogatah. When electricity was surcharged in the air and was glanced over by the Supreme, at that time, by a mixture of eternal time and external energy, there occurred the creation of water and thirst. So now one more thing which is in the gross way has come, that is water. Water has sound, water has a sensation of touch, and water has a form also, and now it has a taste, rasa.
Jyotisambo anusamsmritam vikurvat brahma vikshitam mahim gandagunam adhat kalam maya samyogatah. Thereafter, the water produced from electricity was glanced over by the Supreme Personality of a Godhead and mixed with the eternal time and external energy. Thus, it was transformed into the earth, which is qualified primarily by smell. So, when you boil the water, and if you dry it totally, you get some residues that turns into soil. So same way here, from water comes the earth, which has its own identification through smell. From the description of the physical element in the above verse, it is clear that in all stages the glance of Supreme is needed with other addition and alterations. In every transformation, the last finishing touch is the glance of the Lord.
Maya hiyasya jagadanda shatani sute traigunyatat vishaya veda vitaya manaha Sattvavalam viparasattvam vishuddha sattvam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajam yasyadnaya sambhratakal karo.
By the order of the Lord, the whole Kalachakra, eternal time, it moves. In connection with that time, this material energy, she works under the supervision of the Lord and creates different material elements with the combination of falsico. And then the whole creation takes place. In every transformation, the last finishing touch is the glance of the Lord, who acts as a painter does when he mixes different colors to transform them into particular color. When one element mixes with another, the number of its qualities increases. For example, the sky is the cause of air. The sky has only one quality, namely sound. But by the interaction of the sky with the glance of the Lord mixed with the eternal time and the external nature, the air is produced, which has two qualities, sound and touch. Similarly, after the air is created, the interaction of sky and air touched by the time, the external energy of the Lord produced electricity. Next, the interaction of electricity with the air and sky mixed with time, the external energy and the Lord's glance over them produces water. In the final stage of a sky, there is one quality, namely sound. In the air, two qualities, sound and touch.
In the electricity, three qualities, namely sound, touch, form. In the water, four qualities, sound, touch, form, taste. And in the last stage of physical development of the result is earth, which has all five elements, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. Although they are different mixtures of different materials, such a mixtures do not take place automatically, just as a mixture of the colors does not take place automatically without the touch of living painter. The automatic system is factually activated by the glancing of the Lord. Living consciousness is the final word in all physical changes. This fact is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 10th verse as follows. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. The conclusion is that the physical elements may work very wonderfully to the layman's eyes, but their working actually takes place under the supervision of the Lord. Those who can mark only the changes of the physical elements and cannot perceive the hidden hands of the Lord behind them are certainly less intelligent persons, although they may be advertised as a great material scientist. So again, the thing as explained, if you acquire the knowledge through your material senses, which are imperfect, you are not going to understand the absolute truth. Prabhupada has analyzed how one thing has come from another and how it is enriched with the one particular quality and has ascended upward with another one more quality and created some third thing. So ultimately, by the glance of Lord, everything becomes activated. So glance of Lord means His mercy, Kripa Kataksha, Ekshanam, through seeing. Just by His glance, everything gets created in this world. So we'll stop here and then tomorrow we'll continue with the further how these different demigods, which are the parts and expansions of their lordship, what are their duties, how they work in this material, that we'll discuss tomorrow. So any question? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.